footing like a swallow in its flying. A curse that is causeless does not alight. A whip for the horse, a bridle for the donkey, and a rod for the back of fools. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest you be like him yourself. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. Whoever sends a message by the hand of a fool cuts off his own feet and drinks violence. Like a lame man's legs, which hang useless, is a proverb in the mouth of fools. Like one who binds the stone in the sling is the one who gives honor to a fool. Like a thorn that goes into the hand of a drunkard is a proverb in the mouth of fools. Like an archer who wounds everyone is one who hires a passing fool or a drunkard. Like a dog that returns to his vomit is a fool who repeats his folly. Do you see a man who is wise in his own eyes? There's more hope for a fool than for him. The sluggard says, there is a lion in the road. There's a lion in the streets. As a door turns on its hinges, so does a sluggard on his bed. The sluggard buries his hand in the dish. It wears him out to bring it back to his mouth. The sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can answer sensibly. Whoever meddles in a quarrel not his own is like one who takes a passing dog by the ears. Like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, I am only joking. For lack of wood, the fire goes out, and where there is no whisperer, quarreling ceases. As charcoal to hot embers and wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome man for kindling strife. The words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels. They go down into the inner parts of the body, like the glaze covering an earthen vessel, or fervent lips within an evil heart. Whoever hates disguises himself with his lips and harbors deceit in his heart. When he speaks graciously, believe him not, for there are seven abominations in his heart. Though his hatred be covered with deception, his wickedness will be exposed in the assembly. Whoever digs a pit will fall into it, and a stone will come back on him who starts it rolling. A lying tongue hates its victims, and a flattering mouth works ruin. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you this morning for your word. Your word is truth. Lord, give us ears to hear. Help us to be doers and not hearers only. Lord, be with me as I attempt to preach this morning. We pray in your name. Amen.
Amen.
So this morning, we're looking together at these timeless words in Proverbs chapter 26. And the first verse tells us, like snow in summer or rain in harvest, so honor is not fitting for a fool. In this opening verse here in chapter 26, we're presented with a powerful contrast between honor and foolishness, drawing our attention to that incongruity between the two. But this verse also serves as a bit of foreshadowing for us for what we saw in the rest of the chapter and what we would learn from this passage. And as you know, our pastor's been preaching through the book of Proverbs, and we've already had the privilege and blessing of seeing these timeless, enduring, profound truths and the practical wisdom that we have in this book. And if we incline our ears to hear, there is, as you've already seen, this treasure trove of guidance for navigating the complexities of life. Proverbs serves as that compass that we need for righteous living, a roadmap for making decisions that honor God. The contrast between honor and foolishness that we see in verse 1, vividly depicted here, encourages us to reflect on the value that we place on actions and words. And we live in a time when distractions abound, right? At least they do for me. Distractions are all around me, and I succumb to them all too often. And we live in a world that's tarnished by the noise of empty accolades, misguided praise, inverted values. And this passage, like so much of Proverbs, encourages us and challenges us to consider truth and wisdom. Once again, Proverbs, being a book designed to provide us, God's covenant people, with practical wisdom, it offers us insights into the true differences between honor or wisdom and foolishness. And as our pastor has demonstrated each week, the relevance of Proverbs extends far beyond the ancient times in which it was penned and are just as applicable to our lives today as they were to those who first received them. So this morning, I'm going to try to be brief for you. You know how to tell if a pastor is lying? If he says he's going to be brief and he looks at his watch, right? I'm going to share with you three things. First, rejecting foolishness and guarding our tongue. Two, the danger of laziness. And three, pursuing wisdom and fleeing deception. We're probably not going to read all of those verses again, but those are the three headings that we're going to look at primarily. First, rejecting foolishness and guarding our tongue. Proverbs 26 verse 3 says, "A whip for the horse, a bridle for the donkey, and a rod for the backs of fools." This verse helps us discern the nature of a fool concerning or according to biblical wisdom. It reminds us that a fool is not somebody that simply lacks intelligence. They're characterized, a fool is, by a moral deficiency. And the key word there is that they are characterized by a moral deficiency. A heart that rejects divine guidance. A heart and mind that spurns the fear of the Lord. Beloved, the truth is all of us sin, right? But hopefully if you're here, your life is not characterized by moral deficiency. And I think that's the operative word, and it's important for us. The fool is one whose life is characterized in that regard. In other words, they're known for their foolishness. Their heart does reject divine guidance. They hate correction. They spurn the fear of the Lord. The biblical fool is one who obstinately rejects wisdom, choosing instead to follow a path of rebellion, unrighteousness. And that definition prompts us to examine our own hearts, though, and our own actions, so that we might align ourselves with the divine wisdom that we find here in our text and the entirety of the book. We might be tempted to say, "Well, I'm not a fool. I'm not foolish. I'm not like the one that the writer is talking about in chapter 26. However, remember that the foolish are characterized by their moral deficiencies. And a good barometer of our own wisdom or our own foolishness is asking ourselves, where are our affections directed? Godless, foolish affections are a lot like stray cats. If you feed them, you get a lot more of them. That's profound, right? If you're raised on a farm, you encounter stray cats. I'll say it again. Godless, foolish affections are a lot like stray cats. If you feed them, you get a lot more of them. And so we have to ask ourselves, is the gaze of our affections cast toward Christ and His kingdom? Or is the gaze of our affections cast toward the fleeting pleasures of sin. Proverbs warns us that the consequences of embracing foolishness are dire. The imagery of a whip for the horse and a rod for the backs of fools makes clear the need for correction and for discipline. Just like a horse requires guidance and a donkey a bridle, so too does the fool need correction to turn away from their destructive paths. And as Pastor Scott has read from Proverbs before, we are told not to despise what? Correction. It's the fool that despises correction. We need that to turn away from destructive paths. The consequences of foolishness extend far beyond personal ruin. It impacts relationships, communities, even nations. If we look back at verses 4 and 17 and 21, 22, what we find is wise counsel navigating human interactions. The scripture tells us, do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you yourself will be just like him. Here we're reminded of the importance of not engaging in senseless arguments or responding to foolishness in kind. This verse is teaching us the art of discernment in our interactions. It encourages us to rise beyond the temptation to stoop to the level of senseless quarreling. In our adult Sunday school class, we've touched on the need for us to be winsome in the way that we speak with others. We're called to model our Savior, to embody humility and wisdom, recognizing that not every argument deserves our energy and our attention. I know this is probably going to shock you, and that you can't identify with this, but sometimes I get more annoyed than I should by the occasional Facebook post that a friend, you know, the person I've not talked to in 25 years and have no common interest with, but we're friends on Facebook, right? And they post something and I want to lash out. And I want to launch into a verbal assault that I'm sure is going to make them look foolish and make others reading it cheer me on, as evidenced by thousands of thumbs up to that comment that I make. Sometimes I'll even type it out, my sausage thumbs moving faster on my phone keyboard than a professional gamer. And then I read it. Sometimes I read it to Tamara, hoping to get her to corroborate all the things that I've said, and she just gives me that knowing look that a spouse can give you. And then I delete everything that I've spent the previous 30 minutes of my life laboring over, close out Facebook, let my blood pressure return to normal. By choosing not to answer a fool, we demonstrate a commitment to higher principles and a refusal to be drawn into a futile exchange of empty words. Verse 17 says, whoever meddles in a quarrel is not his own. Excuse me. Whoever meddles in a quarrel not his own is like one who takes a passing dog by the ears. You know, our own church vows that we take when we join the church are based on the Scriptures, as they should be. And they teach us the importance of guarding our tongues and being peacemakers. They touch on that. The first two vows, and you all are familiar with these. Do you acknowledge yourself to be a sinner in the sight of God, justly deserving His displeasure, and without hope, save in His sovereign mercy? Yes. Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God and Savior of sinners? And do you receive and rest upon Him alone for salvation as He offered in the gospel? Yes. Here's where things can get tricky. Do you now resolve and promise in humble reliance upon the grace of the Holy Spirit that you endeavor to live as becomes followers of Christ? In Proverbs, that's what we have. The instructions for how we ought to live, endeavor to live as becomes followers of Christ. Do you promise to support the church in its work and worship and work to the best of your ability? And do you submit yourself to the government and discipline of the church and promise to study its purity and peace? As Jared already mentioned, beloved, these aren't just empty repetitions. They are meaningful. They are things that we, as believers joining this church, covenant together under the lordship of Christ and the authority of our elders to truly endeavor to live as becomes the followers of Christ. And that's why we take those vows publicly in front of the rest of the church. The second thing I want us to notice this morning is the danger of laziness. These verses warn us against the character of a sluggard, one who habitually shirks their responsibility, then makes excuses for their laziness. Verse states, the sluggard says, "The lion, there is a lion in the road. A fierce lion roaming the streets." Now, first glance, that seems rather odd, right? Like, what does that have to do with laziness? But if we continue reading and we look at it in this context, what we realize is we get a glimpse into the world of the sluggard, who resorts to elaborate and often absurd excuses to justify their own laziness. In our modern context, we may not encounter a literal lion in the streets, but the principle remains. Excuses abound for those who choose idleness over industry. Laziness affects not only our personal well-being, but it seeps into our relationships, our work, even into our own spiritual growth, right? It's a corrosive force that undermines the very fabric of a purposeful and God-honoring life. Verse 14 continues the discourse, and it illustrates that need for diligence and responsibility. It says, as a door turns on its hinges, so does a sluggard on his bed. So here we get another picture. We get this vivid picture of the lazy person's unwillingness to rise and engage with the task at hand. The door on its hinges may turn endlessly, but it goes nowhere. It remains stagnant. And likewise, the sluggard's life lacks progress, productivity, fulfillment. Beloved, we are called to be faithful stewards of the time and the talents entrusted to us by our Creator. The Scripture reminds us that diligence isn't just a virtue. It's a biblical mandate. And in a world that often promotes shortcuts and instant gratification, we as Christ followers ought to be known for our commitment to diligence and responsibility. And by being faithful in that area, we honor the Lord. But here's the other piece of this that we often forget. When we are committed in our diligence, we contribute to the flourishing of society. We contribute to the flourishing of our families. We contribute to the flourishing of our workplaces. We contribute to the flourishing of our communities by being diligent Christ followers. The third and final thing that I want to point your attention to from our text is pursuing wisdom and fleeing deception. Verse 12, we're warned about the peril of pride and self-righteousness. The Scripture reminds us, do you see a man who is wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him. The danger of thinking too highly of ourselves in the absence of humility and a dependence on God's wisdom can lead us astray. I call it the Jerry Springer syndrome. You guys remember Jerry Springer? He passed away recently. He had a show. Hopefully you're not familiar with it. Confession, I am. And clearly it made its way into my sermon this morning. Jerry Springer, he had this syndicated show where they showcased just this abundance of foolishness. It's absolutely embarrassing. And I hope I've not told you the story, but a place I worked several years ago, I was the operations manager, and I had a lady who said, "Hey, Matt, can we take our break?" I had a crew of about 21 people. "Can we take our break at X time," which was like 15 minutes earlier. "Can we take our break then rather than the normal time? Because my daughter is going to be on Jerry Springer today. And I want everyone to be able to watch." Sure, 15 minutes is not going to really matter all that much. And so they gather there in the break room ready to watch the Jerry Springer show. And I won't give you all the details, but it was a typical Jerry Springer show. It was embarrassing. It's embarrassing. I was embarrassed for this lady whose daughter was on the show. And you know what I thought to myself? Confession. I thought to myself, thank God I'm not like those people. Thank God I'm not like those people. But the truth is, but for the grace of God, right? I'm not that different from those people. It's so easy to be self-righteous. It's a call here to seek wisdom, not in our own understanding, but from the source of all wisdom, our Heavenly Father. Verses 24 and 25, we confront this insidious nature of deceitful hearts and deceptive speech. The Scriptures caution us, a malicious man disguises himself with his lips, but he harbors deceit in his heart. When he speaks graciously, do not believe him, for seven abominations fill his heart. Underscores the importance of discernment, beloved. And if there's ever a time we need discernments in the age that we live in with 24-hour news and constant streaming, we need to be able to sort through foolishness and know what wisdom looks like. And we can only do that if we rely on God's truth. However, if our hearts are left unchecked, they can deceive us and lead us down treacherous paths. I'm sure most of you are familiar with Jeremiah 17:9. I love the way the King James pens it. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? It's a call for us to be vigilant, seeking guidance from the Holy Scriptures and relying on the unchanging truths of our Lord. Beloved, we've got to humbly acknowledge our dependence on God's wisdom, recognize the dangers that pride and deceit pose to our spiritual journey, and it behooves us to pursue wisdom with a contrite heart. to implore the Holy Spirit in discerning truth amid the deceitful whispers of our hearts. It's imperative that we remain grounded in the truth of God's Word to guard against the pitfalls of self-righteousness and the deceptive allure of our own hearts. May we be people of wisdom and humility and discernment in a world that needs the light of God's eternal truth. So, let's wrap this up. What's the point of all this? After all, each week, our pastor's been giving you similar themes, repeated over and over, right? By the way, that's not easy for a preacher to preach when you are seemingly repeating the same things over and over. And so I would encourage you to pray for our pastor as he continues to preach through this book, because it's often not easy. But even in this sermon, for those looking through biblical lenses, it's easy to see how all this falls clearly under that umbrella of simply living wisely in a way that conforms to what Christ has revealed to us in His Word. But if you're anything like me, and what I mean by that is sinful, okay? You know, there may be this voice in the back of your head saying, Matt, I've heard this all before. This is nothing new for me. There's no new information here. I know. I understand. Again, imagine being our pastor preaching through this every week. What I am reminded of, though, is that I need reminding. In the depths of my own sinfulness, I am a forgetful person. One of my favorite passages in the Bible, I guess because it just resonates with me so much, is Joshua chapter 4, verses 5 through 7. It says this, "And Joshua said to them, 'Pass on before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take up each of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel, that this may be a sign among you. When your children ask in time to come, what do those stones mean to you? Then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. And so these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever.'" So when they got over the Jordan, they built this memorial with these stones that they had picked up as they crossed. Those stones of remembrance would serve as a permanent national reminder for Israel and a memorial to future generations of that miraculous Jordan crossing and God's covenant faithfulness. Beloved, we are no different. God's covenant people have always needed to be reminded of our Creator God. God's covenant people have always needed to be reminded of Him and His faithfulness. And so the wisdom imparted in Proverbs serves as a guide for believers, reminding us what good truly looks like. It reminds us and reinforces to us and encourages us to live in a manner that's truly reflective of Him. But most importantly, it reminds us of the need for Christ's redemptive work in our lives. We don't measure up, and we need His perfect righteousness. And that's what we're reminded of in Proverbs over and over and over again. And so if you're like me and you're tempted to think, man, I've heard this before, just remember, I probably need to hear it again. I need to be reminded of my God's covenant faithfulness to me because I'm forgetful. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the privilege to preach it. And Lord, thank you that you've chosen to condescend and reveal yourself to us that we might know you. Lord, help us to be people that remember. That remember your covenant faithfulness, but also remember the importance of wise living so that we might live in a way that encourages the flourishing of our families and our churches and brings you glory. Lord, we love you and we thank you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.